Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for hanging around with us to learn about some free things in which you can utilize in your garden to help it grow better. But first, if you're tired of dragging that hose around or a watering can or not even watering sufficiently because you don't have time, Tree Diaper has that all taken care of for you.
Yeah. How do you water your trees? You likely drag a hose over to it, let the hose run for about a half an hour.
Sometimes you forget about the hose. Yeah.
While you go do something else, you need to stop doing that. You can increase your water efficiency and save money with Tree Diaper. No hoses to drag around constantly. Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases stored rainwater when the trees need it. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water and slowly release water over 3 weeks. Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. Made in the USA, you can check out all the sizes they have available. Again, that's treediaper.com. Tree Diaper will keep your trees happy.
Well, whenever you hear the word free, a lot of gardeners are happy too. So we've, through our experiences of being in the garden and doing videos and doing radio shows and making the mistakes so you don't have to, we've stumbled across several different things in which we have been able to utilize to accelerate and help the production of our garden. We're going to see how many we can get through here. But one is simply pallets. Pallets that are heat treated. Now, a pallet is not like a treated 2x10 that's, you know, going to last 8 to 10 years. Pallets, 3, maybe 4 years at tops. So we've got one. What I'm talking about with the pallets is pallet raised beds. We've got, if you go to the website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and click on, or under the search bar, type in pallet raised beds. We've got 2 instructional videos on how we've done it in a very simple manner. It's not, you don't have to bust a bunch of boards down and sand them down and glaze them and cover them with all this other stuff. Very simple to do. And right. You're able to make raised beds 42 inches wide by as long as you want, because 40 inches wide, because that's how wide a pallet is. But you want to make sure that they are not chemically treated or have had like some kind of toxic chemical that has splashed on them.
Right. Another thing people are doing with pallets is they're making like compost boxes with them.
Right.
Type of thing. I mean, there's lots of uses for pallets, but that's another garden thing that you can do as well. You can even somehow fashion it into a trellis if you get creative enough.
Oh, yeah. You can do a lot of things with a pallet. Small, big, large, whatever in between works very well. Another thing in which you can utilize is metal coffee cans, preferably. Now, the plastic ones or the cardboard ones with that aluminum casing around it works well. The benefit to this is you're having a season extender early in the spring. What we have found is you take a metal coffee can, that's what I'm going to reference, but anything will work. You cut the bottom off with the can opener, and then you take and you plant your summer squash about 30 days before you normally would do such in your area. You put the top on, but you cut everything out of the top except for the lip, that ring that snaps onto the actual can. And then you put a piece of saran wrap or 4 mil clear plastic. What occurs at that point is it kind of warms the soil enough that these summer squashes will sprout. This would work for winter squash as well. We've just never done it on that particular application. And by the time the 30, you know, we typically, where we're at, we would plant our summer squash Memorial Day weekend. Well, we can get in there about the 1st of May, do this, and then by Memorial Day weekend, the top can be completely removed. As the plant grows, you want to crack a little bit. About a week before you completely remove it. And then you've already got plant starts that are 30 days ahead of where they would be. Instead of waiting till the end of June to have them, you got the end of May and you're already up and going.
Right. So, yeah, you can use those to extend the season. And then
you could do that with other plants.
Right.
We've just experimented with the squash, the summer squash, and it's worked very well.
Do it with like a brassica? I thought maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, you can also take your clean grass clippings. So when we say clean grass clippings, we mean that they don't have any weed seeds in them, and they also have not been sprayed with any sort of grass
weed and feed
or pesticide or
broadleaf
herbicide or something like that. So seed free, weed seed free, and then chemical free grass clippings.
The reason being, if it's been sprayed with a weed and feed of a of a chemical base or a broadleaf spray, those molecules of that chemical will attach to the grass clippings. You bring them in, You water, it rains, it releases, and into the soil it goes, toxifies your garden, and greatly inhibits or kills your potatoes, your eggplants, your peppers, your broadleaf plants, and it takes a while to remitigate the soil in order to get that toxicity out. Same thing if you put it in your compost pile. It's going to take a long time. Even if the soil is black like potting soil, you're going to have a big problem. So be aware.
Right. So, yeah. So you want to let them dry out, and then once they're dried out, you can use them as mulch, and they are free mulch, and they work really well.
And you can have a lot of free mulch. Other ways of utilizing other mulches that are free on your property, obviously leaves in the fall. You can use shredded paper, not the most eye-appealing, but we all get a lot of junk, and we shred cardboard as well. People are like, what about the glue? Well, we suck in a lot of chemicals. A little glue in a cardboard box, in our opinion, not really going to make a difference between that type of thing.
Another option is, if you don't want to shred the cardboard, you could lay the cardboard over a bed and then cut holes. Like if you're going to plant tomatoes, you would cut a hole. And then you can use that cardboard as a mulch, and you can just
kind of more of a natural weed barrier cloth.
Right. So that's an option for cardboard boxes. Now, really quick, I just want to talk about the planting stick.
Okay.
Because this was something that Joey came up with, which was actually quite innovative. He took, what did you take, some vacuum cleaner tubes?
Back in the day, we used to do a lot of scrapping. So I took three vacuum tube extension wands, which you could just take a 2-inch PVC pipe or a 1-inch PVC pipe, and made it to where it was about chest high. And then I took a 2-liter soda bottle and cut it top to bottom, not across, top to bottom, and then cut a hole in that side of the bottle to shimmy over top of that PVC pipe. Then you could dump your seeds into that soda bottle, which was your reservoir or your hopper. And as you walk, you could just drop the seeds however many inches apart you need it, and you never had to bend over.
Right. And you could do this with any large seed.
Right.
Mostly beans or like corn.
Bean, corn, even squash. If you're planting an acre of summer squash and you don't want to bend down, you punch the holes, a lot of different applications.
Or even gourds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the planting stick, it sounds, to me, I think it's the saying, it sounds funny, but it was very innovative, and it was something that, maybe we should use again. I don't know, but we have the raised bed, so it's a little bit.
Well, you can sled it at an angle and walk through, that type of thing. So coffee grounds, if you drink a lot of coffee, that's great. If you have access, which talk about how do you get coffee grounds, Holly, and then I'll explain that they're okay.
Sure. So what we used to do, and we haven't done this for a while, but what we used to do is we would call a local coffee shop, and we would say, we want your grounds. And then typically they'll say, bring a 5-gallon bucket in and then just drop it off, and it'll be ready in a few days. And so that's what we used to do. And actually, I think at one point we were using two different locations. Mm-hmm. But and it fills up within a day or so, especially if it's an area that has a lot of people that drink coffee.
And the filters are biodegradable. You can work them in the soil. You want to work the coffee grounds in the soil. Coffee grounds contain about 2% nitrogen, about a 0.4% phosphorus, about 2.2% potassium, somewhere in that range. Your big element there is the nitrogen. It will not make your soil acidic because the acidity has been brewed out during the coffee making process. It's great for worm bins, organic matter in the soil, bringing and revitalizing microbial life. A lot of different uses, beneficial uses for coffee grounds, and they're free and they're not harmful. Even the flavored coffees, don't worry about that. That's not going to hurt anything.
Right.
But you do want to work them in because that evaporation of the nitrogen, you'll lose that. But you'd still get the grounds if you didn't.
Now, just a heads up, sometimes these places want a lid, especially if they're in a more urban area and they need to leave that bucket outside. They need to have a lid, so definitely keep that in mind before you drop it off, or just give them a call. And
wood chips are another one, or you can get them from Chip Drop. Mm-hmm. You sign up for a free account. Sometimes if you offer the Chip Drop, is wood chip people, that the linesmen and in different companies, they sign up in order to get rid of their wood chips, so they don't have to pay a fee at the wherever it is, the landfill or wherever, in order to dump their load. So you sign up and you say, hey, this and this and this. Now you get anywhere between 4 and 20 yards, a cubic yard. So you don't get to decide, I want 4 yards. You may get 4, you may get 20. However, they may not come to you because they have to pay in order to drive the truck. So if you offer, hey, I'm in XY area, I will offer you $20 for a load, you're going to get a whole lot more response than just signing up and saying, whenever you are in the area, bring it over. If they can get a little fuel reimbursement, they are much happier, and they'll put it wherever you kind of ask for it. So works very well for perennials, for around beds. Put it around beds. You don't have to mow. You're environmentally friendly. It doesn't allow the grass to put seeds on to cause more problems. So
yeah, it's something that we definitely want to do around our raised beds. So yeah, chip drop, it's a good resource, and maybe just a nominal resource. And yeah, then we have the weed tea.
Weed tea.
Which is basically
exactly
you just take,
what it sounds like.
It doesn't smell good,
no,
just so you know.
No, you want to do it right before rain or when the neighbors that you don't like are out having a picnic. I think that would be a good time to – because if you've ever been on a farm and you've dug up in a cattle lot, the fragrance that comes off of this is a very it's not been oxidized. It's got a very rank smell to it. So it will.
But it's a high nitrogen, highly concentrated way to feed your plants.
Right. You're taking the weeds, you're putting them in a big tub, you're filling that tub with water and letting it set for about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you drain it off or dip a bucket in there and then you water around your plants. And it's a very, it's a Gatorade for your plants.
Essentially, yeah. But it does not smell pleasant. So just keep that in mind.
Well, now that the weather is warming up in most areas, if not everywhere, you're going to have to deal with another problem besides the stink of the weed tea. It's going to be those various beetles, weevils, and borers, including those Japanese beetles in your yard.
And what better way to prevent these pests from destroying your garden than by controlling them while they are larvae? Grubagon is an easy-to-apply granular product that can be spread on your turf to successfully control grub invaders. Developed by Phylum Bioproducts from a naturally occurring bacteria, Grubagon is a non-chemical BT product that specifically targets only scarab pests, and it's safe to use around bees and other beneficial insects.
And if you already have those beetles flying around your yard, and some of you do, Beetlegon is an organic water dispersible powder that can be sprayed directly, yes, directly on your edible plants. Find out more at phylumbioproducts.com. That's phylum bioproducts.com.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.